The subject today is facilities technologies in the Canadian defense sector. My co-host is Jean-Georges Perrin, fellow IBM champion, and we're joined by J.C. DuPont, Director of Business Development for Defense and Security for Serco Canada. Okay, I'd like to welcome to the podcast today, Jean-Georges Perrin is my co-host and fellow IBM champion. And also joining us is J.C. DuPont. J.C. works with Defense Business Development for Serco up in Canada. So welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So J.C., let's start with you. You know, Canada has become rated as one of the best places to live. I know there's been a lot of immigration. A lot of technology talent has been going to Canada. So tell me, what makes like Ottawa listed now as the 10th best technology hub in North America, followed right behind by Vancouver? And I mean, what makes Canada so special in general?
Well, there's history in there. I mean, in Ottawa specifically, technology is in our DNA. You go back to the Nortel years and BlackBerry, they've developed the region and created a really good ecosystem of talent and expertise that the region is simply building on and pushing into the future. There's also the education system in Canada, which is really good in a sense that it's not too expensive to get higher degree. Really, the Canadian government and the provincial governments really encourage the youth to go and get advanced degree, which is make the Ottawa region with University of Ottawa and other kind of university and technology school very attractive for family to come in the region and develop their career in high tech. And also the government of Canada is very engaged into supporting its small, medium business in the high tech world. They're creating a lot of contract subsidiaries to really help the small, medium business to grow in that market. So yeah, Ottawa is a neat place to be.
You know, I've worked with a lot of students that have come out of SAIT, Southern Alberta Institute of Technology, and just had an incredible experience with the quality and all. And of course you go all the way to the West Coast and Vancouver, which is, an amazing place into itself. So Canada seems to have so much diversity. One of the things I find fascinating though, that in order to do business with the federal government, you have to have English and French. So what's up with that?
Oui. Actually, in Canada, for federal contracting, French and English are the two official languages of the country. So any services that you render to your citizens or technology or equipment or anything need to be able to have English users or French users. So you're forced by contract to deliver in both language. The province of Quebec's go even further, as if you are in Quebec, you will only see signs in French. French is the primary language. So any, again, provincial services, technology need to be delivered in French. So there is a very kind of present bilingualism in Canada, French and English, from schooling to your work environment. And any Canadian citizen can be served in both language anywhere in Canada.
Alors, si tu veux faire du business, si tu veux faire des affaires au Québec, le français est obligatoire. C'est bien ce que j'ai compris.
Oui, c'est couvert par la loi 101, qui est arrivée dans les années 70-80. Donc, l'usage français est réglementé au Québec. Donc, une industrie qui veut faire affaire, avoir pignon sur rue à Montréal, à Québec, doit, par la loi, offrir les instructions de travail, le service, l'interface, si on est sur un ordinateur, en français, en premier lieu. Tout à fait.
Et est-ce qu'il y a d'autres choses qui diffèrent, en fait, entre faire des affaires au Canada et spécifiquement au Québec?
Il y a différentes choses, oui, la belle province. Il faut aimer la poutine. Et puis,
Ça va encore.
ça va encore. Mais effectivement, l'histoire du Québec est légèrement différente de celle du reste du Canada, de par les colonies françaises qui étaient ici et qui ont développé la région. Donc, on retient beaucoup de cette époque très chrétienne, très française et d'inspiration française. Donc, même au niveau de la cuisine, tu vas voir des choses différentes dans les restaurants québécois versus un restaurant à l'extérieur du Québec. Donc, il y a des nuances, même au niveau politique. Le Code civil du Québec s'applique, tandis que dans le reste du Canada, c'est un autre système de loi, c'est le Westminster, qui est un régime plus britannique. Donc, même le système de loi est légèrement différent au Québec. C'est ce qui fait la particularité du Canada.
Et j'ai entendu quelque chose à partir d'une allocation militaire de 25%.
Oui, bien, c'est au terme des investissements de la défense, donc le budget fédéral contient un pourcentage du produit intérieur brut. Et puis le gouvernement fait des efforts significatifs de répartir les budgets d'une façon équitable à travers le pays. Donc, le Québec, avec 8-9 millions d'habitants, représente pratiquement 20-25 % de la population. Donc, les bases militaires du Québec, donc on a une base aérienne à Bagotville, exemple, on a une
D'accord.
base militaire à Valcartier, vont recevoir en moyenne 25 % du budget annuel de la défense.
Donc, ce n'est pas du tout parce que vous voulez envahir Saint-Pierre et Miquelon.
Non, non, c'est pas du tout. On aime bien prendre le traversier entre Terre-Neuve et Saint-Pierre, oui.
Tracy, your turn.
Hey, JC, what are some of the technologies you're seeing across Canada in facilities management that are game changers in your mind?
Yeah, well, when you look at the infrastructure and the infrastructure that exists, especially in defense, built during the Cold War and sustained and maintained in the 1970 and 80 kind of mindset, paper-based, et cetera, we see a lot of the digitalization of the infrastructure. It's really something that is growing. The military, they call it, as they look at their battle space of the future, the interaction between the different platform, the system of systems. Well, my argument is the future of military base is part of that system. And the only way it can be part of that system is it can move and exchange information with the platforms, with the mission, with the operation. So it is really where it's going. It's really where we see a lot of new technology like Circle Edge, where we look at the base and we try to have the base as digital as possible to, improve the warehousing, the logistic, the asset management, the work orders management, getting that information to the technician in the field, in a very dynamic, real-time, way. So it is very quick, and it also support the defense mission of, right on time. Let's go. Let's do it. So Serco invests a lot in what we call the dynamic resource management, and Serco Edge is one of our product line.
Est-ce que tu peux me donner un peu plus de détails et de bénéfices de Serco Edge?
Oui, ce qui est intéressant avec Serco Edge, comme on fait ce podcast, c'est la technologie est robuste, résiliente, mais elle peut être livrée à un usager francophone ou livrée à un usager anglophone avec les mêmes bénéfices, les mêmes avantages. Donc, la technologie est culturellement, je pourrais utiliser le terme agnostique, donc elle permet vraiment de rencontrer les normes du gouvernement fédéral en termes de livraison de l'information à l'usager. Le choix technologique aussi derrière Circle Edge est un choix technologique prouvé avec les solutions d'IBM, Trariga et Maximo. Donc, on met ensemble tous ces avantages et cette technologie prouvée pour servir nos usagers sur les bases militaires. Maintenant, on parle de technologie, mais Circle Edge aussi inclut le know-how, l'expertise. Nous opérons la base militaire, la 5e escadre au Labrador à Terre-Neuve. Et puis, cette expérience-là nous amène à bien comprendre notre client de la défense, utiliser la technologie, le levier de Circle Edge et l'information pour vraiment avoir des missions militaires qui sont très efficaces, à très bon coût. Donc, vraiment, Circle Edge, c'est une technologie, mais il y a aussi l'expérience Circle dans la livraison des services sur nos bases militaires. La technologie aussi permet d'intégrer bon, les nouvelles plateformes, comme on voit les cinquièmes générations de chasseurs, les nouvelles générations de frégates et les nouveaux équipements de l'armée sont très connectés. Cette connectivité-là entre les plateformes peut être faite aussi avec la base où ils opèrent, où ils ont besoin des services, que ce soit des services de réparation, de maintenance préventive, de pièces, d'essence. Donc, cette connectivité-là, lorsque tu digitalises ta base militaire, que tu connais ton environnement, que tu as le contrôle de tes infrastructures d'une façon très précise et très immédiate, fait que ta plateforme et ta base travaillent bien ensemble. C'est un système de système. Et puis, ça donne beaucoup de bons résultats lorsque les militaires s'entraînent dans cet environnement-là.
Et donc, la plateforme communique avec l'État fédéral aussi pour les commandes, etc.?
Tout à fait. Donc, la plateforme est capable de communiquer avec des plateformes locales. Il faut considérer qu'un environnement militaire, à l'occasion, tu as besoin d'une infrastructure secrète ou top secrète, donc tu dois avoir des installations qui sont contrôlées locales ou dans le cloud, lorsque c'est plus moins sensible ou tu dois partager. L'autre avantage aussi, c'est que la technologie te permet de standardiser tes processus contre les meilleures pratiques. C'est-à-dire que tu sois à Halifax, à Vancouver, Rankin Inlet, Ottawa, cette intégration-là des systèmes te permet de standardiser de beaucoup ton environnement.
Tracy?
So, JC, how does Circle Edge and other technologies, I know that the Circle team works with, now, how does that apply to a facility like something like Goose Bay? I mean, it's such a large facility.
It is a large facility. It's a large footprint. It will allow the facility to go towards the modern era of a combat-centric, networked environment. You know, can it exchange? Can it learn? And the services provided out of Five Wing Goose Bay are phenomenal, you know, from food services, janitorial. So you can imagine yourself or picture yourself a NORAD exercise, multi-country, multi-asset, all coming to the base. Well, you need to have the infrastructure in a condition that, you know the condition of your one runway. So the aircraft are coming in, coming out as planned. You have the food services, you have the warehousing, the parts, the spare part, the fuel system, the lodging. It's all interconnected, but again, it's to serve the mission. So sometimes you can peek, you can go down, and you can control and know what's going on. Plus, as the mission and exercise is ongoing, well, you can really render a good picture to the ops room, the military ops room. So as they do what they have to do in their environment, they have the state of the facility in a very current way. So they know exactly what's going on. It could be in case of emergency, you need to react, or just, you know, day-to-day activity. So it is really creating that connection, that technology connection between your base and your assets that are moving all over the base. It is really also to collect data over time and learn. So you develop better practice as you collect the data, you do your data analytics, and you can distribute and do a lot of the learning. Providing the information at the time it's at the pace it's needed. So à la vitesse de la pertinence. So you can make the right decision at the right time because you have the information right away. It also allows you to really have the human on the loop instead of in the loop. So you bring that kind of technology where your base is more self operating, and there's a lot of services that allows you to be more efficient, but also to have connected people. And if a problem happens in infrastructure or platform, that information flows to the actual person that can make a difference in a very quick fashion. The military, what the military like is that the command and control of it makes it like the system of system. And we are migrating that. So the Circle Edge solution, the Tririga, the Maximo is part of that connection to that battle space of the future where all the platform need to exchange information and ISR while you include your military base. It could be a mobile command post or a permanent base into that kind of battle space of the future.
It's pretty amazing technology out there these days. And Tririga, Maximo, and then of course Circle Edge is a combination of the two is really leveraging just a lot of different capabilities. And there's a lot of different technologies that can plug in. I think that's one of the most important things, at least in my mind, is the ability to integrate with pretty much anything between it. You know, the Circle Edge platform is designed to consume data from many different places and then make that data useful. You know, data is not a whole lot of good unless you can do something with it. So I think.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, like if we take, for example, the upcoming future crew training program in Canada, it is multiple sites. So I've focused up to now, you know, a one base kind of approach, but how you connect two base and three bases to deliver the same mission in a coherent way. So Circo is part of a Skyline team on the future crew training. And we're looking at hundreds of users that will go from housing services, a house, and it could be a plumbing problem, to an aircraft emergency. That integration in Circo Edge, as you kind of manage the infrastructure and the assets, allows you in the same day dealing with all of it that can happen and occur, but not just at one site. You can integrate two and three sites, and it works under the same kind of guidance and mission. That's a really kind of powerful solution and offering. When you integrate your infrastructure, your site services, you know your assets are in what conditions, you know your warehousing, you can forecast your capital investment if some wear and tear happen and create the mission around it. And everybody gets information in real time or very quickly.
Et j'imagine que la solution, elle est disponible à la fois sur un ordinateur classique et sur des portables.
Oui, tout à fait. C'est ce qui rend la solution est, dans cette base du futur. Si on prend les jeunes militaires, exemple, ils ne veulent pas du papier. Ils veulent une tablette. Ils veulent un téléphone. Ils veulent l'information vienne à eux sur une pièce technologique. Donc, la solution nous permet de déployer l'information effectivement sur un écran géant. Disons qu'il y a une urgence, donc on appelle le command post s'active. Donc, dans le command post, la grande salle, une salle de conférence, l'information sur ton infra et tes services d'urgence sont affichés en temps réel. Mais la personne aussi qui est dans, à l'extérieur, qui va au-delà et qui va à cette urgence-là, a les informations directement avec lui ou elle sur la tablette et le téléphone. Donc, la technologie peut vraiment être donnée aux usagers, comme je dis, au point de service, à la personne qui peut faire une différence.
Qu'est-ce qu'on peut souhaiter à Circo Edge alors maintenant?
Oui, on peut souhaiter que Circo Edge puisse vraiment faire de cette vision du futur, de ce système de systèmes, d'inclure dans les analyses de plateforme et d'efficacité au niveau de l'espace d'engagement que les militaires regardent, connectent cette base militaire à leurs outils de travail. Et puis le potentiel que ça peut devenir au cours des 10, 15, 20 prochaines années, c'est un peu le chemin qu'on s'est engagé à la 5e escadre à Goose Bay, c'est d'innover. Et Serco Edge, ce n'est que le début, c'est la base duquel on peut grandir et fournir aux militaires l'information qu'ils ont besoin pour les bonnes décisions.
Merci beaucoup, Jean-Christian.
Merci, Jean-Georges.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate your time today. It's been really informative. It's interesting to learn more about Canada and a lot of the, I think, things that are unique and very exciting, actually, in Canada. So thank you for your time. And we'll have to catch up again. And, you know, a year from now, as COVID breaks loose, hopefully, and see what kind of changes to the market and the technologies are taking place.
Yeah, thank you, Tracy. And you know, a little anecdote here in Canada, one of the biggest operational challenges as you run a five wing, for example, Goose Bay or 15 wing in Moose Jaw, the colonels and the pilots want to know when is the runway clear of snow. So that's one of the, when can I take off? Is there ice on the runway? Well, that kind of circle edge solution allows you to give you live kind of feed of your snow clearing activities and can tell command, say, you're good to take off or now you're grounded. But that, yeah, snow clearing is something that's really important in Canada.
That's actually a great point. You know, that real-time information to make instant decisions. You don't need to go up to the chain to talk to a colonel or general, somebody in the field. Translates real-time info, and we just get it done.
We get it done. You know where the snow plows are. You know where the snow blowers are, if they're done or not. So you can pull out the aircraft from the hangars and start flying. If not, you wait. But you have a real-time feed of what's going on. And that's what we're, you know, the technology, but that's what also the customer wants. He wants to be able to see in the ops room, okay, I can take off at 10 a.m. It's going to be done, or it's going to be 10:30 or better 7 a.m. So yeah, that real-time information, which is right now walkie-talkies, paper, et cetera, can be brought to you with that package of technology to allow you to really get your mission going.
Fantastic. Awesome. Sounds like a lot of great things are happening up north. And we'll catch up with you soon. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Au revoir.
Thank you. Merci, Jean-Georges.